Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
After the Supreme Court ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade, an evolutionary biologist who specializes in reproduction wrote this: "There is one thing I am certain of from my studies of the animal world as an evolutionary biologist. Women won't stop fighting for control over their bodies and will continue making reproductive choices no matter the obstacle." What makes her so sure? Well, she says that what female mammals have always done, in fact, what they're evolved to do, is make those reproductive choices. Let's bring in Dr. Dina Amara. She's a senior scientist at the Center for Reproductive Longevity at the Buck Institute of Aging. Her op-ed in the Boston Globe is, "Reproductive Choice is at the Core of Being a Female Mammal." Dina Amara, welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So you say female mammals have always had to control their fertility. You've been studying animals in nature. First of all, why is controlling fertility an evolutionary advantage?
You know, choices about reproduction are some of the most important choices that female mammals make. And it pervades really all aspects of our reproductive physiology, behavior. And I can't stress enough how important, you know, from the evolutionary perspective, these decisions are.
Well, let's take a look at some of these things. It could be about protecting the mother. We'll get to that. But it could be about protecting the rest of a litter. Talk about the koi poo rodent.
Yes. A fascinating study was done actually decades ago on these rodents. They, like many rodents, have litters. And the size of the litter and, you know, the identity of those in the litter is very important for these rodents. And it turns out that if litter size is too small, these rodents will, fairly early in the pregnancy, abort the litter and go for a larger one. And the reason that this type of thing happens is that pregnancy and lactation and childcare in species that invest a lot in their children take a long time. Mm. And so strategies like this one ensure that a mother is spending her time in the best way that she can. And so you can imagine, you know, if you have a very small litter, you're investing all of this time and resources into a fewer number of offspring. And so it actually made more evolutionary sense to evolve a mechanism that maximizes litter size.
And to be clear, it's the koi poo mother's reproductive system that senses that the litter's too small.
Absolutely. It's sort of a physiological mechanism.
But on the other hand, you talk about mammals that might sense that there's a male around that might kill their offspring. And so the female actually ends her own pregnancy?
Again, that's not a conscious decision. It's a well-studied phenomenon. It's called the Bruce effect. Many rodents, if they're exposed to an unfamiliar male, you know, early on in her pregnancy, will have a spontaneous abortion. It's similar to what we just described for the koi poo rodents. The reason her body will then abort her litter is because in many species of rodents and actually primates, males will kill the offspring of a female, if they are not his, of course, in order to quickly impregnate her with his own children. So these females have evolved to essentially cut their losses as early as possible.
Huh. Well, and then talk about possible decisions. You know, the tamarin monkeys who give birth to twins and triplets, and usually there's a tamarin community and someone else will help raise those newborns. But if a mother, a tamarin monkey, doesn't have that help, she'll abandon babies.
Yes. Tamarin monkeys raise their children communally. So if help is not there for whatever reason, mothers instinctively know that those babies will not make it. You see this in many of these examples. Females have evolved to cut their losses as early as possible.
They're going to invest in having other offspring survive. That's absolutely one thing that you see a lot in nature. But talk about another thing you see that is just fascinating, that some mammals have evolved to avoid pregnancy with males they don't want to reproduce with. I mean, this is their forced to mate, raped, if you will. Talk about the bottlenose dolphin.
Yes, it's not just in dolphins. In many, many species, it's well studied in ducks. Males in many species are coercive. So it is in their best interests to essentially force as many females as they can to reproduce with them. And depending on the species, females will evolve strategies and mechanisms to prevent males they don't want to mate with from getting them pregnant. Those might be behavioral strategies like, you know, running away or flying away, to very interesting morphology of the reproductive system. So you mentioned the bottlenose dolphins that have unusual morphology of the vagina. So this morphology evolved to essentially prevent the sperm of an unwanted male from getting that female pregnant.
This is amazing. Female bottle dolphins can position themselves and contract muscles to steer the sperm that they want, you know, somebody they do want to reproduce with, toward the eggs, and to steer unwanted sperm towards like a fold that's just like a dead end.
Yes. I mean, there's just some very wild twists and turns and folds that seem to do the opposite of what you'd expect. You know, it seems like it's not making it easier for sperm to get to egg, that it's making it harder. You also see this in ducks.
Well, this is, I mean, I will now look at ducks a little differently to see if I can see this, but this is serious stuff because you're drawing a line to the current discussions about Roe v. Wade. And the point, the overarching point you're making is that through time in nature, female mammals don't just leave their reproductive fate up to chance and up to males.
We see this in our own bodies. Many human pregnancies end extremely early, so early that we often don't realize that we're pregnant. You know, that usually happens because our bodies have sensed that there is something wrong with the embryo. You know, so our bodies have evolved this very early screening mechanism to limit, again, as early as possible, our investment in children that probably won't make it.
But take a second. What would you say, and you use this, what you see in nature, to make the case that women will also fight for these kinds of reproductive choices because it's ingrained, it's vital. What would you say to the listener who might be saying, well, yes, but, you know, animals might kill a newborn that's too small for the sake of the rest of the litter, or they may abandon a newborn as the tamarin monkeys do because they can't care for it. But humans are supposed to be more evolved, and they don't just have the practical need to survive, although, you know, we're not denying that some women may feel that in that moment of a child they can't take care of. But female humans have options, they have contraceptives, and they have moral choices to make, which animals don't. What would you say to that?
I think that's a reasonable argument, and I'm not a lawyer. I do think this is a legal question. I'm not arguing that these observations in nature tell us that abortion should be legal at a federal level. I'm simply providing some context that I think people don't have. And, you know, beyond that, I think people don't realize what a vital instinct this is. And I honestly think that those who are trying to restrict female choice, I think they're fighting a losing battle. I think women will continue making choices whether abortion is legal or not. And I think this ties back to all of these examples I've given you. These choices about reproduction are extremely important as eating, as important as sleeping. I mean, Our bodies have evolved for hundreds of millions of years to make these choices. These are vital instincts, the most important decisions that a female makes.
As you've seen historically in nature.
Absolutely.
That is evolutionary biologist Dina O'Meara. We'll link you to her latest op-ed as well as to information about her upcoming book on the evolution of women. Dina, look forward to that, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.